Hello and welcome to Regarding ID, the podcast series. I'm your host, Chris Corum, executive editor of Avizian Publishing, and today we're talking about HSPD 24, Homeland Security Presidential Directive number 24, issued by President Bush, covering the way federal agencies use biometric data and share that data among the agencies for the protection of national security. We're speaking today with Walter Hamilton, the chairman of the board of the International Biometric Industry Association, or IBIA, and Walter is also a senior consultant with the Identification Technology Partners. Walter, if you could begin by telling us about the current landscape of biometrics in some of these federal agencies and how this HSPD 24 may make modifications and improve the utilization across agencies.
Today we have examples of various types of repositories or databases of biometric information. The Department of Justice, through the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, has its integrated automated fingerprint identification system repository. The Department of Homeland Security has its U.S. visitor database, the U.S. visit system that's used for foreign visitors to the United States to screen those individuals against terrorist watch lists using fingerprint technology. And the State Department also cooperates with DHS in terms of issuing visas for visits to the United States and performing a fingerprint capture, which is then used against the U.S. visit database to see if an individual is worthy of trust when they come to the United States as a visitor. So we have these systems in place. However, they are somewhat stovepiped, and they're not necessarily using common data formats and interface standards that would allow them to exchange data for the purposes of terrorist prevention. And so this directive is intended to accomplish some of that by encouraging the use of standards and by directing those agencies to cooperate in that regard. And in the past, there has been a lot of cooperation, and I should mention, Chris, that this presidential directive didn't come out of thin air. It wasn't something the president woke up in the middle of the night or at 3 a.m. and said, "Eureka, I think we ought to do this." This actually is the culmination of 6 years of cooperation and effort between executive branch agencies in trying to figure out the best approaches to perform this type of cooperation. You know, it's interesting that unlike an executive order where the president does push down his policy thoughts to the government, this is more of a bottoms-up process where the agencies have already agreed to cooperate and are simply seeking for presidential support or a signature of approval from the president to enforce that policy. So it's really more of a bottoms-up process. It's not something that the agencies would resist. In fact, they actually are the instigators of this presidential directive. So it really is an interesting, different approach than what you might have thought from just reading it.
Yeah, definitely.
Cold. And the National Security Council and the Homeland Security Council have been involved in this from the beginning, as well as those agencies like Justice and DHS and Department of Defense, who have been working with State Department and others to cooperate in these types of data interchange. Today, we have some systems in place that do allow for the search of information about known or suspected terrorists. These systems are generally name-based search systems, particularly National Counterterrorism Center. And so this is designed to add capability into those searches to be able to also look for biometric attributes.
I take it from your description there and from my read of the document itself that we're not focused on standardizing the biometrics or the templates or the type of biometric that's utilized, but more the way that that's stored and the way that it can be shared between agencies. Is that correct?
That's right. The objectives are to move toward a better approach to coordinating the identification of known or suspected terrorist. And in order to do that, that's why the Director of National Intelligence is involved in the National Counterterrorism Center. They need to enhance their ability to perform those identifications using biometrics as a much more accurate method than simply name association. As you can imagine, that's fraught with a lot of error and a lot of inconvenience to innocent people who just happen to coincidentally have a name that's similar to someone that's been determined to be a threat to our society. So this is an attempt really to not change the mission of any of the government agencies or the internal workings of their databases, but to make the interfaces and the exchange of information between those databases something that conforms to a set of standards that make it easy to exchange and update those databases periodically.
Okay. How about a lot of folks in the ID industry, which make up a lot of our listeners and things, folks from government and big enterprise ID programs as well, think of HSPD and immediately think of HSPD-12 and the government initiative to provide a standardized credential to all federal employees and contractors. There is biometric technologies tied into that program. Do you see this impacting that as well, or are we really looking more at the individual and the known or suspected terrorist kind of groups as opposed to any biometric that might be collected by a federal agency?
I don't really see it affecting those programs, Chris, as you mentioned, directly, either the HSPD-12, which is personal identity verification for federal employees and contractors, or the more recent Transportation Worker Identification Credential Program, mm-hmm. which follows many of those specification requirements. I don't see much change going on with respect to those programs or any impact to the biometric features. In each of those programs, in the enrollment phase, there is a criminal history records check that's conducted, which is using 10 fingerprints against the FBI IAFIS database. And that's to determine if you have any disqualifying offenses in your background that would make you ineligible to have the particular credential that's being issued, whether it be a TWIC card or a PIV card in the case of federal workers. And so as part of that process, it is possible that a person going through that background check could show up in a terrorist watch list or could show up in a database that would put them in the category of a known or suspected terrorist or some other category that might be considered as a threat to our society. So those programs probably won't change, but if an individual is identified as a result of a background check associated with some of those civil programs, then they very well could end up in the database that is associating biometrics with known or suspected terrorists or other persons.
Anytime there's the word biometric and federal government comes up in the same sentence, it draws the attention of the privacy advocate communities who mm-hmm. feel that there's always some conspiracy or something bad happening out there. From a quick review of some of the posts and things, it seems that there's attention being paid to one comment or one additional comment in there that ties biographic and contextual information to the biometric. I think some are seeing in that quote or in that line in there the idea of this bigger database of tying multiple things together, kind of the big brother fear that always seems to come to light with programs like this when they're discussed. Any thoughts or ideas on that from the perspective of industry?
Well, certainly the 9/11 Commission report was very critical of the government's inability to effectively exchange intelligence data that potentially could have entrapped and caught some of the 9/11 terrorists before the act. And what this presidential directive is intending to do is to further facilitate the spirit of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission report, in my view, to allow all of the tools that we need to protect the homeland to be used effectively. And biometrics is a very effective tool at doing that. The ability to use biometrics as some way of spying on average citizens, to track them around, or or to do them harm is really, I think, quite a stretch in terms of what we're intending here. And I think that it is simply a positive identification tool that would help prevent misidentification and embarrassment to law-abiding citizens who are misidentified as falling into a risk category that they don't belong. So I think it has the opposite effect. It helps protect people's privacy against inappropriate actions by the government against them in the event that they're deemed to be a threat.
There's some very pro-biometric technology and pro-biometric industry language in the document itself, which I think is great news for the industry.
Absolutely.
Do you see benefits to the industry for this tangibly, or is it, most of these programs that will be covered are programs where there's already biometrics being utilized and things, but do you see this as a means to maybe further the use of biometrics in other federal programs?
Yeah, I do. I think this type of commitment and endorsement of the president toward the effective use of biometrics and the support that the industry has also received from Congress and other policymakers, and not just here in the United States, but worldwide, I think that society and governments are recognizing the efficacy of biometrics, its ability to provide a positive way of identifying people so that when you grant a privilege or provide a benefit, that you can make sure that the person that's entitled to that privilege or benefit is the person that's receiving it. And then, of course, to find criminals and to find suspected terrorists that could be harmful to society, that's another important benefit of this technology. So it has multiple uses, and it's being recognized, and it's being, I think, finally coming of age. So while this won't necessarily add a big project that would be worth, millions or billions of dollars to our industry, manufacturers of biometric technology or solution providers in our industry, members of our association, I think that it does create a positive atmosphere that will encourage additional adoption and growth of the industry and help us achieve some of our mission objectives that we all share.
Sounds good, and I suppose that you can't get much higher of an endorsement than the President of the United States when you're looking for a vendor quote or a user quote to put on the back of a brochure if you're an industry person.
That's right.
That's a pretty good endorsement.
Yes, it is, and I think that it's shared not only by the current administration, but also both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill see biometrics as an important tool.
Great. Well, Walter, thank you very much for joining us here today. I'll be giving you a call in about 90 days to see if you'll maybe give us some comments on what you think of the actual report that comes back to the president's office from I guess it's the attorneys general and a handful of other folks in the federal ranks there. Maybe you can give us your insight back when that comes out.
Looking forward to it. Thank you,
Chris. All right, great. Thank you very much. And everybody, thanks for joining us. We've been speaking today with Walter Hamilton, Chairman of the Board of the International Biometric Industry Association. We will have plenty more about HSPD 24 and biometric technology at thirdfactor.com and in the publication Regarding ID magazine.